Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. Simply 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, always done without manipulation, which means we don't con people on our radio show. We're not trying to raise money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up, nothing like that. We would ask you to listen up. Listen as I carefully try to explain the plan of God for your life. And if you can pick up on it, understand it, you can orient and adjust to it. That's up to you. But my job is always to be accurate, to get it correct, not to lead you astray in some weird something that's not true, but to give you what is truth, the Bible, the Word of God. We've been doing this radio show now for near 13 years. It's been a great honor to broadcast on the many various stations and to continue to expand, looking for new stations every week. We're looking to go into new areas. And to be able to offer the material that we offer free, our books that we offer free, including Christian problem solving, including understanding your soul, including a crash course in basic Christianity, including biblical promises and principles. I mean, we have all of this material free, no charge. You just write, let us know, we'll get it right on out to you. And if you'd like to have a copy of any of our radio shows, let us know. We can always make a copy and get it back to you. Or at least tell you where you can listen to it online at rickhughesministries.org. That's rickhughesministries.org. All our radio shows are listed there under the Flotline, F-L-O-T. That's the name of the show, the Flotline. That stands for the Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T, Forward Line of Troops. We use a military analogy to explain how the Christian life works. The most unique life in the history of this world. A life with no worry, a life with no fear, a life with no guilt, a life with no impatience. It's a wonderful life. It's a life Christ demonstrated to us. And when we learn and adapt to use the 10 problem-solving devices that we teach on this radio show, then you can live that sort of life. But it always starts with phase one. And phase one is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Today, I would like to tell you about the best friend you never met. The best friend you never met. Have you ever wondered about that? If there is anything ever happened in your life, someone caused something to happen that was wonderful, marvelous, and you really don't know who it was? It's an illustration I like to give to you. This happened many years ago, back in the 70s. And during that time, there was a famous evangelist on Bourbon Street called the Chaplain of Bourbon Street. His name was Bob Harrington. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He's been gone a couple of years. But Bob was very famous for his preaching down on Bourbon Street and television shows and books and radios and things like that. He told the story about crossing Lake Pontchartrain one night late in the morning, like 2 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, going from north side of Lake Pontchartrain, Mandeville, Louisiana, down into New Orleans, Louisiana. At that time, there was a two-lane bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, and that bridge was 24 miles long. And Bob said he was out in the middle of that bridge trying to make his way back home after a meeting he had been somewhere up in Louisiana. And as he got maybe 10, 12 miles out on the bridge, his headlights picked up a man standing in the middle of the road. Bob confessed that he was a bit apprehensive about stopping. He didn't know what it was, a robber or a drunk or what it was. And he didn't want to stop, but he said the closer that he got, the man in the road began to frantically wave his arms trying to stop him. And Bob said he blinked his headlights on to bright and tried to swerve to go around him, but the man moved also and would not get out from in front of Bob's car. And finally, in desperation, Bob slammed on the brakes before he hit this man. And he said you could hear this man screaming at the top of his lungs, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" Bob cautiously got out and could see the man was in a great bit of distress and said, "What happened? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Are you injured?" And the gentleman said, "Up ahead, a barge has struck the bridge. A whole section of the bridge has collapsed into the lake, and we were on a bus that went off the bridge, and we need help. Please help us." And when Bob realized that his life was saved, because a man that he didn't even know stood in the middle of the bridge and had the courage to stop him, he hugged him and said, "Thank you for saving my life," and they were able to get help. You need to consider that question today. Who was that guy? Who was he? Who was the guy that died in your place? The Bible talks about that, you know, the best friend you never knew, Jesus Christ. He provided for you something amazing, just like this man provided for Bob. This man saved Bob's life. One of the most talked about conversions in the history of the world. One of the most taught, if you mention this, everybody knows who it is and what it is about. This is in Luke 23:39. One of the criminals who hung there with Jesus, remember there were two criminals, one on either side of Jesus Christ the Lord, being crucified. So one of the criminals hurled insults at him and said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God? Since you're under the same sentence that he is, we are being punished justly for what we're getting. What we did, we deserve this, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the most talked about conversions in history, the best friend this man had never met. That man, Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, gave him eternal life with a divine pardon that day. Matter of fact, we have a book written called A Divine Pardon that deals with this. It was not at a Billy Graham crusade, and you know, I'm not sure how many people were saved at Billy Graham crusades and all those events. I'm sure thousands and thousands, but it wasn't by some televangelist. The most talked about conversion in the world was on that cross that day. The best friend that man never knew saved his soul that day. Even though the man on the cross beside Jesus had never met him, he heard enough so that he could believe that this was indeed the Son of God. And even the Roman soldiers had to confess to that in Matthew 27:54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Amazing, amazing, amazing. Here's the bottom line. A man you never met gave his life for you and for your redemption over 2,000 years ago. You might not have known him, but I can assure you, Jesus Christ knew you over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, God the Father had you in his mind. He knew you would exist, and he knew you would need redeeming. And the plan that God the Father provided was for his Son, the anointed Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Redeemer. In John 10:15, "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Christ gave his life for you and for me. In 1 Peter 1:8, the Bible says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." It's wonderful to have a friend like Jesus. You never met him personally. You never laid eyes on him. But in eternity past, he knew you. And he gave his life as a ransom for you. And all he asks is that you love him just as he loves you. That's a wonderful type of love where you give love back. It's unbelievable. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. And so that's the way that it goes. In John 20:26, a week after his disciples were in the house again, Thomas was with him. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." In other words, don't freak out, relax. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hand, and reach out your hand and put it into my side, and stop doubting me and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they believe." I have never seen Jesus Christ. I will soon, someday. You have never seen him either. But the Bible says great happiness belongs to those who believe, even though we haven't seen him. We don't have to be like Thomas. We don't have to see the evidence. We have it in front of us. We have the evidence of the resurrection. We have the evidence of the Word of God. We have the evidence of the testimony. We believe by faith. You know, you can perceive things by faith. It's called pisticism, the Greek word faith, pistis. You can receive things by rationalism or empirical data. We receive the good news by faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone. As Paul told the Roman jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, sir, and you will be saved and your house." Why would someone you never met give his life for you? That just doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, you never met him, but he died for you. The most powerful words in the history of mankind I'm about to quote to you. They've been quoted millions and millions and millions of times. They are, without a doubt, the most life-changing words ever uttered on this earth. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. God loves you. And I know you made a mess out of your life. I have too made a mess out of my life. But he loves us. That's why Christ came. He loves us. And we can reciprocate that love. That's the wonderful thing about it. We love him because he first loved us. God loves you. Don't let that leave your mind. You say, "Well, you just don't know the things I've done." Well, it doesn't make any difference what you've done. That's what Christ died for. That's why he was on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. Now, you may have some penalties that man will impose on you because of criminal activity. That's a different story. But spiritually speaking, your sins were paid for on the cross. And even though you may be in a penal institution, you can have eternal life. You can be guaranteed that when you leave this planet, you will be face to face with the Father. That's what's important. You know, this is not unique. A lot of people died for you that you don't even know. You didn't know that? The American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783, also known as the American War of Independence, was an 18th century war between Great Britain and its 13 colonies. We, by the way, allied with France, in which we declared independence as the United States of America. During this time, somewhere between 25,000 to 70,000 American patriots died. Battle injuries, sickness, whatever, during active military service. About 6,800 of them were killed in battle. 17,000 died from disease, and the majority of the latter, those prisoners of war in British, mostly in prison ships in New York Harbor. They died so that you could be free, so that you could have freedom, physical freedom. You're free today to get in your car and drive to California. You're free today to get in your car and drive to Florida. You're free today to rent an airplane seat and fly anywhere in the world you want to go. You're a free American. These people died to give you that freedom. At the end of World War I, around 4 million soldiers were mobilized, and at least 120,000 American personnel died during World War I. From all different types of causes, combat wounds, influenza. Over 204,000 were wounded. Many civilians died in that military action. And you go to World War II, over 400,000 Americans died for your freedom. Died to make sure you were free. Add to that the Korean conflict. Add to that Vietnam. Add to that the war on terror throughout the world, and the number is uncountable. They all died defending you and your freedom. So what's unique about that? I mean, these people died for you also. 1 Corinthians 15:54 puts it this way. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. These deaths I'm talking about, they bought your personal freedom in time. The American War of Independence, World War II, World War I, all these other conflicts, they bought your personal freedom in time. But listen carefully, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross bought your spiritual freedom and life everlasting. That's why I said, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed an eternal life. Death has no hold on you. You know, that's what Satan uses to scare people with, death. Death has no hold on you in Christ. The Bible clearly says, as we follow this verse up in 1 Corinthians 15:55, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible clearly says, He, that's God, made him, that's Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God by means of him. So Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, is the best friend you never met. Today you can have an encounter with Jesus Christ, because the good news is he's alive. He's alive, he's not dead. Once men had done the deeds of the crucifixion, and once they buried him and rolled the rock over the tomb and told everybody to go home, it's over, you're dispersed, go back to wherever you came from, and show's over, everybody. Well, he walked out of that grave alive 3 days later, and he was seen by hundreds of people. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, the Bible says after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain even alive to this day. Some have died, yes, but most of them are still alive. And the best news is this, that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, will come and live inside you. He will live in you. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. This is it, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was a mystery. This was never known before. No one had a clue. No one in the Old Testament. No one knew it. And Paul exposed it. It's a mystery from God. Jesus Christ will live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's an amazing thing. In Colossians 1:27, he is the hope of our glory. Consider this, you have the opportunity to start life all over again with a new history and a new destiny. It's very clear in the Bible, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, old things are passed away, all things become new. How does it work? Well, it's really simple. The payment has been done. I mean, it's already provided. Christ on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. He redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. So there's nothing that we have to pay. There's nothing we have to earn. It's interesting to hear people say, well, I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. That doesn't work that way. The Bible says these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life, K-N-O-W. That's in 1 John 5. You may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't say hope, and it doesn't say try, and it doesn't say wish. You can know it. How do you know it? Well, the Bible goes on to say in 1 John 5, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. These things God has written. And the Bible goes on, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you have Christ in you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? How does that work? Simple. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible clearly says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God and not of works, lest any man should boast about it. When we're talking about being saved, what exactly do we mean? Well, you're born with a body, that's obvious, and you're born with a soul, which has mentality and volition and a consciousness, that's obvious. But you're born spiritually dead because you inherited Adam's original sin at the birth. And so you need to be born again if you're going to have a relationship with God, not physically. That's what Nicodemus didn't understand when he came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. He did not understand how Jesus Christ could say, you need to be born again. He said, that's impossible. You can't go back into your mother's womb. And Jesus said, look, I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. What must be born again is your dead human spirit. You are spiritually dead because you're identified with Adam's original sin. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, in your human spirit. It's made alive in Christ. And now you're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. There's three parts of you now, where there used to just be two, a body and a soul and a dead spirit. Now it's a body, a soul, and a living human spirit. When the body wears out, and it will, or the body is accidentally erased, and it could happen. But whatever way it goes, your soul and your spirit will live on forever. If you're a believer, you'll get a resurrection body. You'll be in the presence of the Father. The Bible says no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. That's clear as a bell. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you have blown it. You just messed up, buddy. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, talking about the great white throne, you'll be evaluated based on, is his name in the Lamb's book of life? And the answer is no, it's not. He's died without Christ. He's died the first death. Because you're going to have to either die two deaths or be born twice, one of the two. Born the first time, physical. Born the second time, spiritual. Two deaths. Die the first death, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And the second death, whoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the Bible says. So I mean, it's your choice, two births or two deaths. Sounds pretty easy choice to me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But people can, their volition, their chooser, their decider can be really strong. And people will deny Christ even after he walked on the earth and did miracles and was seen by hundreds and raised the dead, healed the sick, caused the lame to walk. And they still hated him and still crucified him. That's how strong negative volition is. How strong is yours? Are you willing today to say, I'm a sinner? I know I need to be saved. I know if I died today, I would not go to heaven, and I want to. Do you have the guts to say that to yourself? My prayer is that you will. My prayer is that wherever you are right now, if you're in your car, you'll just pull over for a minute, or if you're at home, you'll just bow your head for a minute, and you'll simply pray, Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe Christ died for me, and I want to accept him as my Savior today. Three short paragraphs, three short sentences. I know I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. I want to accept him as my Savior today. It couldn't be any easier than that. And the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This could be the day you're born again. Because this is the day you ask Christ to save you. You know, people quote a verse sometimes that said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him." And sometimes they get that out of context, but the concept is true. When you receive him, he indwells you. He's in you. He won't ever leave you. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall anyone ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand." What a great promise that is. Because of a single decision you made today, the best friend that you never knew has just become the best friend that you met. Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, has saved you. You've put your faith in his finished work on the cross, and he's redeemed you. And you can say, "Thank you, Father, because I knew all along I needed it. And I knew all along I was lost, and now I'm not anymore." That's right, you're not. Now you're an anointed Son of God. You believed in Jesus Christ. You've received him as your Savior. You've been placed into the royal family of God, and there's one thing for you to do now, and that's to understand as much as you can in what little time you have left. You must grow. You must learn. You must get a Bible. You must begin to study and see, because God has a unique plan for you. He left you here for a reason. There's so much more to say and not enough time to say it. So I hope this made sense, and I sure hope you've been listening. And I hope you'll write to me if you accepted Christ as your Savior today and let me know. I'd love to help you. Thank you so much for being with me today. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying adios.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.